All right, well, we are reviewing Prophetic Ministry 101. So if you're following in along within the book, it's Basic Training for the Prophetic Ministry, Chris Vallotton's amazing book, manual, study guide. And we're, you know, we've done some activations, and we've talked about hearing, and there are going to be some things that we may repeat in this lesson, because it's really good for us to, like, review, right? Because we got to kind of have to really chew on some of the truth in this teaching. And so some of this might feel like repetition, but I want to encourage you to ask the Lord, you know, just to let the teaching sink in. Because I know people who've been practicing the prophetic for a while, and we all are still growing, right? We're all still learning to hear clearer. And there's an opportunity and an invitation to ask the Lord to take you to another level of hearing and discerning. And remember last week I said, you know, I think sometimes when we go through some of those seasons where we don't really feel like God's as close or as present for some reason, we feel a little distance, it is never because he has left. Just so you know, he will never leave you nor forsake you. It's just, I believe he's calling you up higher. He's calling you up another level. And the picture that the Lord gave me is kind of like stairs. Like if we had stairs, you know, up here. When you really get to know someone here in an intimate level, when you get to know God here and you're able to hear him and discern him, I think he goes, all right, you got it. Now let's go up higher. And he goes up a step, right? Or two. And he's like, come on up. Come on up. Come up higher. And so he's a little bit further away, you feel like, but he's not, because God's always present, he's always there, but what he's saying is come up higher. And so sometimes when we talked about the language of the Spirit last week, I think it's because we're so used to hearing him one way on some level, but then he switches. Because he wants to train us in how to hear and to know him in lots of different ways. So, like, I'm very visually wired, okay? I learn by vision. I kind of see, you know, in the spirit and things and discern in that way. But I do pictures, and I talk with my hands, so. but I see in pictures a lot. And so when I have dreams, they're vivid, technicolor, you know. And then there was a season where it was like it stopped, and I was like, "What I do, you know? Like, what just happened? Why am I not getting all this good juicy stuff to write down in my prayer journal, you know, or whatever?" And it was just because he was training me in a different way, and I learned that as I went through this teaching several years ago, because I was having to discern when, like, those words we practiced in the activation last time, like, listen, ask him for a sound. Like, you know, some people learn by hearing. You know, like, I know people who learn music by ear, right? And they know if it's in tune or off tune or whatever, they learn by ear. And educators, there's any other educators in the room or whatever, you know, all the different ways that people learn, right? Tactile or vision or hearing or whatever. We're all a little different. But I think that the Lord stretches us to learn how to hear him in the spirit. So I just want to encourage you. If you feel like for some reason when we're doing an exercise and I say, see the red apple, and you're like, no, I'm the only one in here that doesn't see the red apple, like, it's okay. Because you probably hear him in a different way, way better than some of us who see, right, visually. But it is good, I think, for us to stretch ourselves to practice by asking. Because sometimes the Lord's going to speak to us and we won't recognize it's him. Okay, so the reason why we go through some of those exercises is to show you he speaks in lots of different ways, and we often miss it because we don't realize it's him. A lot of times I hear people will say, maybe this just isn't my gift. Now, maybe this just isn't the thing that I'm supposed to do. Well, baloney. Because scripture says it's the children's bread, right? This is for all, this is that all may prophesy. And Paul said, I want all of you to do this. Seek the greater gifts. He said, earnestly desire, right, the gifts. So I believe with childlike faith, I can have what my papa has given. Okay, now it's up to Holy Spirit to decide levels and all that good stuff, right? But it's a gift, not a reward, but I can ask. And you receive not because you ask not. That's scripture too, right? And all things are possible for him who believes. Right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? I mean, there's lots of verses I can go quoting and going, no, wait a second, that's a truth too. He's no respecter of persons either. That's another one, right? Okay, well, God, if you can speak to Chris Vallotton that way, then, you know, why not me, you know? Now, I say that, though, and I want to remind you as we've talked about the difference between the gift of prophecy and the office of the prophet, this is my take. I believe this is the same as what Chris would say. Some may disagree. I do not think that you can say, Lord, I want to be in the office. I do not believe that you can do that. I believe that it is a gift that God chooses, and you're either in that calling at birth or upon the rebirth, right, when you come to know the Lord. I believe that's something that's God-ordained. God calls whom he calls and chooses in those particular office governmental gifting. We may all have kind of like what we call a bent toward one or the other, or we kind of appreciate the apostolic or the prophetic or evangelism or whatever, like on some level, but it is very different than the office. Now, that's my feeling. It's okay for you to disagree with me, but I do believe that that's biblical. I do believe that's scripture. So I want to say that because I do think sometimes when we start talking about pursuing the gift of prophecy, we sometimes mix that up with the office. So I just wanted to make that statement really quick. And I want to cover chapter 5 today. We talked a little bit about this last time, about how we were to judge and receive prophetic words. And it's really important, you know, he mentions in that it's really important to develop a safe environment for the gifts to be able to be operated well. We need to be able to have that place where we have teaching on how to judge the word just as much as how we're to give the word. Okay, so this is, we're going to take some time here talking about this because it's really important as we learn to discern and to interpret. He says in 1 Corinthians, Paul instructs us not to despise prophetic utterances. Any of us who've had the experience with prophetic ministry can easily understand why Paul would bring up the subject of despising prophetic ministry. Many churches, in response to poor prophetic ministry, have altogether eliminated the gifts of the Spirit from their services and teaching. And we also learn that a prophetic word should be examined and that we should hold on to what is found to be good. That verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. Okay? Prophets can make mistakes without being false prophets. Now, there is a whole chapter on this that we'll get to in a couple of weeks. But I'm just going to mention here, he pulls the scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:29, let two or three prophets speak and let the others pass judgment. Okay, so there's a difference between New Testament and Old Testament prophecy. A lot of times people think that, well, if you make a mistake, then you're a false prophet, right? Like it better be on and right, or, you know, you're a false prophet and you're supposed to be stoned. That would be Old Testament prophecy. He points out a couple of great examples in the New Testament where we can see that it's important that in New Testament prophecy that we're to let two or three prophets speak and then let others offer judgment. So he gave the example of Acts 21. Agabus the prophet had prophesied that the Jews in Jerusalem would bind Paul and hand him over to the Gentiles. Acts 21:10-11. As we were staying there for some days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, note, that is a prophetic act. Remember we talked about the different ways that the Lord speaks. This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. What actually happened was the Gentiles rescued Paul from the Jews. Acts 21:32-33. At once he took along some soldiers and centurions and ran down to them, and when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander came up and took hold of him and ordered him to be bound with chains, and he began asking who he was and what he had done. In verse 30 of chapter 22, the commander turned Paul over to the Jews. This was the opposite of what Agabus had prophesied. In chapter 22:30, it says, but on the next day, wishing to know for certain why he had been accused by the Jews, he released him and ordered the chief priests and all the council to assemble and brought Paul down and set him before him. It is obvious that Agabus was correct about the heart of what God was saying, but he just got some of the details mixed up, okay? Another example of a prophetic word that was not entirely accurate is also found in Acts 27:10. Paul says, in essence, if we sail on, we will lose the ship and we will all die. But later in verses 22 and 23, Paul is corrected by an angel who says, there will be no loss of life, but only of the ship. This may seem like a minor mistake unless you happen to be one of the men on the ship. Okay? So, also, he says, theologically, some people will quote Deuteronomy chapter 18 as evidence that a prophet is false if some of their prophecies are inaccurate. And we need to understand the difference between Old and New Testament prophetic ministry. Here's the verse, Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command. In verse 20, but the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. So, in the Old Testament, it's important to understand that the prophets received the word of the Lord, okay? In New Testament, prophetic people perceive the word of the Lord, okay? The hearing is different. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God did not live inside of man, nor had the spirit of man been brought to life, okay, by the rebirth. This happens during the new birth when we receive Christ. And therefore, when a prophet was in the Old Testament and heard from God, it was an occasion because Christ was not living inside of them. In this new dispensation, our spirit is alive and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So now as Christians, we can daily interact with the spirit world. And it's easy to confuse the Holy Spirit's words with our regenerated spirit's words, as well as we know the interference of the enemy. Now, we can have a spiritual experience without Holy Spirit's participation because we are spirit trying to have a temporary human experience. We've been reborn. We're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. So this is why prophecy in the Old Testament was not judged except to kill the prophet or to wait and see if the prophecy was coming to pass. The people were spiritually dead, and there was no paradigm by which to process that information. So in those days, judgment was not based on whether or not they liked the word. It's easy to see why in the Old Testament they would have to kill the prophets who misled them. These men had tremendous influence over their people and even the whole countries. Okay, they were literally the voice of God. Okay, in the New Testament, though, the Christian receives the word just as much as the responsibility to judge the word as the one who gave it, because both the giver and the receiver have the same Holy Spirit living inside of them. So there should be an agreement. When a word is released, that's why we tend to ask, does that seem to fit? Does this make sense to you? We're asking for feedback to just see, does this speak life to you? Is this encouraging? Am I off? You know, and here's the thing, we don't want you to go, oh yeah, and then it not really be it. You're not really helping us grow, number one, because we need to know if we've heard the Lord. But we do need you to actually say, yeah, that was on, or whatever, because then that's an encouragement to those who are speaking it or learning, and it's like, oh, I heard God. Whoa, that was incredible, right? Especially when how specific it can get, right? So it's really important that we actually love one another well to be able to engage in that dialogue in receiving and being able to judge and interpret the word. Now, it's really important. Chris talks about just developing a developing a refuse gate. We have to learn how to just let some things go in step two. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But he basically says, you know, you can get slimed in the spirit a little bit. And so it's really important for us to just learn how to just, you know, let things go. Now, some people say you can just flush that word if it didn't fit, if it didn't work or whatever. If it's one that's a possibility, I use the phrase, just put it on the shelf. You know, God will remind you about it if it's a true word, okay? I actually like to write down my words, though. I like to write them down. You know, sometimes you can voice record them or whatever. But I used to have them in several different places, and the Lord told me to put them all into one central place. So I rewrote all of them in one book for all of the words that we have in my family, for my husband, I, and my kids. And we have them all in there because the Rhema word of God is just as powerful as the Logos word of God, right? And so when I know that that was God and I believe and receive that word like as it was from the Lord, it's important that I review those. It's important that I look at those on a regular basis. It's no different than looking at scripture and you can read one verse like today and then you know, 3 months from now, it'll say something a little different to you, right? You'll have another, you know, kind of perception or flavor depending on what's going on with you, right? It jumps out at you a little different. Well, the same thing is true with prophetic words. We've looked over words that we go, oh, this really fits this season. And then 3 years later, it's like, oh, wait, this word really fits this season, like in a little different way, right? And so it's, and then when you get other words and you put them together and you start putting them, and I've got 10 years worth of words or so, and so I'm reading through them all and going, whoa, look at how the repetition of some of them, the affirmation of some, so that you know that that was the Lord. And then sometimes it's like a puzzle, right? You get different pieces that start to fit together, so then you look and discern that word a little different and stuff too. He talks about how we want to do prophetic ministry in the church, and order is really important. You know, when Paul was teaching the Corinthian churches, because they were so full of the Spirit that they were like gifts all over the place, and it was kind of a little crazy. And so he was trying to instill order so that it wouldn't be so chaotic. And he says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, all things must be done properly in an orderly manner. But let's look at God's idea of that, not necessarily man's idea of that. God is very empowering, and we tend to be a little controlling, okay, in human nature. So the example that I like that, you know, that he gives is he talks about how new life is messy. When you think about the birth of a child, you know, that is called decently in an order, a new birth, and yet it can be, a birth can be very messy. That is actually the sign of life happening. Then he puts up Proverbs 14:4, where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes by the strength of the ox. Meaning, if you got a whole lot of ox in the barn, you know, then you're going to have a whole lot of extra stuff too, right? It can get messy, but it's a sign of life happening. Does that make sense? So sometimes what's hard about prophetic ministry, and especially as we learn to create that culture here and to steward it really well and to give an opportunity for us to practice, not just here on Wednesday nights, but we do want to move into a place where we raise up, you know, people and kind of what we'll all call gatekeeping or whatever a little bit, so that it can be something that can be active even on Sunday mornings. You know, that we want to create an environment where we are teaching and equipping everybody what you guys are learning on Wednesday night, right? Because it's for the body. It's for every believer. But it is really important that we do have order. And there are some places where it can be a little chaotic. And I think it's really important, the verse in 1 Corinthians 14:32, where it says, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Sometimes there are people that will say, well, I couldn't help it. God said to just stand up and say it. Well, no. God's a God of order, not chaos. And there is something about, again, honor, and how, for example, if the servant is to be conducted, there is honor and spiritual covering and honoring the authority of your leadership, being able to take a word to your leadership too, to discern it, to test it, right, and to judge it. So he gives some basic guidelines. We are still unpacking how we want to do that here at Legacy, because we're really just moving into creating this as something that's a part of our culture, right? Because it's kingdom culture, and that's what we're after. And we want to embrace the prophetic, but we want to do it well, okay? We don't want to be in that controlling piece where only one or two get to do it, but we also don't want to be on the circus side either, where it's kind of anything and everything goes either, right? So that's why we're doing this right now, is because we want to give permission to risk and permission to fail a little bit, to try it out, because you got to be able to exercise that muscle, right? Like if you don't do physical exercise, your muscle's not going to grow. It's the same thing with your faith muscle, right? I mean, I said before in a teaching that we don't grow the fruit of the Spirit outside of the soil of adversity. We have to go through stuff to really test and try our faith. Well, the same is true, I believe, in the gifts. We have to begin to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord and practice and be able to get feedback from people who can love us well enough to give us honest feedback, right? And then to keep practicing. You know, babies don't learn to just all of a sudden start running right off the bat. You know what I mean? They got to take a few steps here and there. So that's really important. So here's some great guidelines for judging prophetic words. One, the word must always be congruent with Scripture, as well as the heart of the Father, okay? Galatians 1:8 says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. Meaning, we have to know that this is God. We have to know that it lines up with his word, with the scripture. And he says, even if another angel from heaven, because scripture also talks about, you know, the enemy can come looking like an angel of light, right? Like, it's got to line up with the heart and the character of the Father, which is why judgmental prophecies are not okay in my book, because that's not the heart of my Father, all right? Correction is one thing, his kindness that leads us to repentance, right? It's from the heart of the Father who disciplines, not judgment or condemnation. It must bear witness with the spirit of the one who receives it. Romans 8:16, the spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. It should, if it's God, it should light our spirit up a little bit. We should be like, oh, okay, remember the edification, encouragement, comfort. The fruit of the prophetic word must be that the person receiving it is brought closer to God and to his people, not want to run and hide in shame or in fear. That is not, right, the fruit of the heart of our Father. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. This is all in Philippians 3. Number four, prophets and leadership should be in agreement with the word and its interpretation and application, right? It's wisdom to have wise counsel. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. You're not going to benefit from it. Number five, the interpretation of any prophetic revelation belongs to God, ultimately, okay, not man. Therefore, we also need the Holy Spirit's anointing to know the meaning of the word as well as what to do with it. 2 Peter 1:20 through 21, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Sometimes we can receive a prophetic word and not realize what it means until after it's already been fulfilled. An example of this is found in Exodus chapter 3, where Moses asks God for a sign so that he can know for sure that it's God who's sending him. And the Lord spoke and said, after you bring the people out of Egypt, you'll worship me on this mountain. So there was the sign. Jesus also prophesied about his own death and resurrection, and that wasn't understood until after he rose from the dead. So, judging the interpretation, it can be really easy to misjudge a prophetic word, especially if you believe that it may relate to your immediate circumstances or something that is close to our heart that we're hoping for. He calls this selective hearing. Okay? Chris says, he's given hundreds of prophetic words over the years, and he is amazed at sometimes what people think they hear him say, and occasionally what people hear from prophecy and what the actual word is not even close to the same thing. And he gives an example of this misinterpretation in Matthew 16, where the disciples had neglected to bring the bread, and Jesus said, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They thought that he was scolding them for getting bread, like actual bread. How did they get that from the word? Well, the beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Well, he read into their circumstances into what he was talking about when he was actually giving a warning of the teaching, the bread of the teaching of the Pharisees, okay? I won't unpack all of that for you, but. Okay. This is an interesting note that he adds in here, too. In the book of Exodus, God tells Moses that he's going to kill the people that Moses had led out of Egypt because they were obstinate and evil. But Moses argued with the Lord that they're the Lord's people led out of Egypt. So after a long debate, God changes his mind and leads the people into the promised land. Why would God prophesy to Moses something that he didn't really want to do? Here's his answer. Sometimes when God speaks to us, he's testing our hearts more than determining our destiny. How do we respond to the word? What do we believe? Okay? God was determining if Moses had the heart that it would take in order to lead his people. Exodus 32:14, so the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said that he would do to his people. Sometimes when God speaks, he's testing our hearts rather than revealing destiny. So how to receive prophetic words? It is important that we judge the word, we make sure it's from God. Next is to make sure to learn how to receive it, okay? And he says that it's important to know the difference between these two things, when to get out of the way and when to prepare the way. Oh, that's so big. Now, he makes this illustration looking at the life of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 16 through 21. God said they were going to have a son. But the years rolled on, and there were still no children, right? Unfortunately, they decided to help God bring about that promise, and they came up with Hagar, right? We all know that story, and, he made Ishmael. So then Ishmael persecuted the child of the promise the rest of his days. But God came to Abraham and Sarah, prophesied that they would have a son the following year. Sarah laughed, right? After I become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? But despite her doubt, Isaac was born the following year. The amazing thing to remember here is that Isaac was not born through immaculate conception. Abraham and Sarah had to participate in the union of marriage in order to have Isaac. So, in one respect, they created an Ishmael by trying to make the prophetic word come to pass, yet they still had to co-labor with God to make sure the promise came a reality. We got to discern the difference here. We need to realize that God seldom does things all by himself. He often will require us to be involved with him to see our destinies fulfilled. We have to partner with him. The key here is to allow the Holy Spirit to show us what part he wants us to play and what part is God's alone. Otherwise, we may cremate Ishmaels to persecute our Isaacs. We also need to learn how to receive prophetic ministry multidimensionally, as he says. When God speaks to us about doing something new, he doesn't necessarily mean that we're to stop our current activity. Usually he wants to add to our responsibilities. He is a multiplier. So he references the parable of the talents. Okay, they got multiplied. So we need to be careful how we apply prophetic words because God does want to bless us abundantly. I think it's really important that as we practice these exercises and we practice hearing, the Lord, remembering, number one, if I'm hearing correctly, it will edify, exhort, and give comfort, okay? It would be lined up with Scripture. It would be the heart of the Father. It would move the person closer to God and to his people, right? So again, we're not calling out sin. If we see something negative, which doesn't take much of a gift to see something negative going on, it's important to then ask the Father, why are you showing me this? What's the answer to this? If that's a word of knowledge that I know about, then, what are you wanting to do about it then? Again, tapping into the heart of the Father to release the blessing. I also think it's important for us to remember that sometimes some of us, when we hear prophetic ministry, we kind of get a little, we really want to be right, right? Like, again, that whole Old Testament, New Testament thing. But remember that we have to learn how to hear. We have to be able to go, was that God or was that me or was that, right? Like we have to be able to say what it is so that you can recognize, oh, that was God, especially when we get that confirmation. So it's important that we practice. It's important that we have people discern the word. It's important that we give feedback, okay? So as we do all these exercises in here, that's what we're going to be doing is I want to make sure we create a safe place where we are lining up with all these things, but we're asking for all these things. Now, in the last activation that we did, a couple of things I wanted to point out. I had made comments about being careful not to give a directive word. Let me unpack that just a little bit, okay? Some of the things that we were getting, we started interpreting as, well, God wants you to go do this. Now, that could be a prophetic word. That could be the Lord. I just think it's really important that we recognize that, again, it's not about works or striving at something. And so sometimes if it feels like we're saying, you know, God just wants you to go study your Bible more, you know, kind of a thing. Well, I mean, that's good, and that can be from the heart of the Father, I guess. But he's not a taskmaster, too, right? And so it's just, you have to kind of discern if, again, there would have to be a confirmation of my spirit as an invitation to the Lord of saying, okay, he's taking you in through this season where he really wants you to soak in his word. Okay, I mean, I can get that, and that could be from the Lord. So I want to make it really clear that I don't mean that you would never give direction on some level in a prophetic word. I just want you to really be careful, because there are some times, especially if we do it outside of here, there aren't people that have walked through this teaching like you guys are, and so they're not going to know that they have a right to be able to judge or discern or to flush it or not, okay? And there are some people, I shared this before, there are some people, if you gave them a word that said, you know, I see you moving into this new business or whatever it is, well, they may literally sell their old business and start the new business just based on your word. Because of how they receive, well, that's God then. If I believe that's God then, or if they apply it to something they want to do, or if it's like nothing they want to do, but well, you said God said, right? So you just want to make sure that I just am really careful about when I give a word, I want to make sure that that person, again, when I ask, does this make sense to you? If this doesn't, it's okay. You know, I will sometimes even back off the word a little bit and be able to say, now, if this doesn't feel right, just know it's just me practicing. So you got to give it according to the level of your faith, right? Sometimes I have given words where I'm like, I really feel like this is God, but I'm looking for them to see if it sits with them or not. And usually you can tell by looking at their face. It's kind of like when we talked about practicing praying for healing and stuff. Keep your eyes open and look. Look for the sign or ask, and to be able to say, does this fit at all? Does this seem, because I'm really feeling it, but I need that confirmation, right? Don't take my word for it. Like, I need to be able to see their spirit on it. But if they're like blank face, I don't know, then I'm going to say, well, okay, well, just put it on the shelf. And if it's God, right, like it can happen. So it's hard to be able to discern, you know, when he talks about the Isaac and the Ishmael, let me go back to that. Ivan and Isabel Allam are out of Catch the Fire Ministry, and they're amazing prophets in the Lord, and we already have them on the calendar. They will be coming soon. But one of the most powerful teachings, I think, that I've received from them in terms of the prophetic ministry is being able to, again, like I said, when you write down your words, steward the words, right? Pray into the word. And really asking the Lord if it's really him. And even if you don't know that it's him right now, like, I would have never thought some things that were in some of my words, but I was like, but some of this other feels really true, God. So just show me, right? Like, and so just as you would pray into any other decision in your life, like, really pray about those words. Really learn to hear and discern. Okay, well, he will give confirmations to tell you and let you know that it's him. Right? He will do that. So don't just jump off the cliff into doing whatever it is, right? But really pray into it. The other thing is, I want you to think about authority, like in terms of your faith level in it. You know, it says if you believe, if you receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, you receive the prophet's reward, being able to hear and know the heart and the voice of God. And so in the same way that as you receive the word, if you believe that it's from the Lord, right, the level of your faith, it's kind of the same when we're praying for healing, right? Faith is a principle, but it's not necessarily law. And so this is where we don't always know if this is the word that we're to partner with or like God's going to do that, right? And so if I don't really feel like I'm like, I don't know if that's you, God, but like I'm willing, you know, like if it's you, then just show me that confirmation. So just being able to pray into it and going, okay, well, what's my part? What do I need to do? For example, if the Lord tells you in a prophetic word and you feel like it's the Lord and he says, you know, I'm going to send you, you know, to Africa or Costa Rica or whatever, right? And you don't know anything about Spanish or something. And so you might just by faith go, okay, well, I'm going to kind of need a passport, right? So you don't know if you're going anywhere just yet, but it would be an act of faith to step into that prophetic word by getting a passport, just to have it ready. No one's saying you got to book it to the location yet, right? but it's a prophetic act. It's the same way to exercise that faith muscle like when we talked about with healing, right? We got to kind of test it out, see if the pain's still there. Let's measure it. In the same way, you've got to be able to do that with words. So as you receive the word and you pray into it, think about what would my part be, or what can I do to line myself up with the word so that I'm ready and prepared for when the Lord says, now we're here, or now's the next step, and we have the confirmation of that. Does that make sense? We don't have to run ahead of the Lord and make everything happen and like book our tickets and land in the country and go, okay, God, here I am. You know, he may have been talking about 5 years from now. You don't know, right? So all I'm saying, which, you know, I think God would totally take your childlike faith probably and do something with that. But at the same time, I think, again, it's wisdom to be able to go, okay, what would my faith step be? So it could be getting the passport. It could be starting to learn Spanish, right? And begin to go ahead and like start practicing that language, especially then, Lord, give me a heart for the people then. You know, give me your heart for this culture, this community, these people or whatever. And you just kind of dive in by learning about Costa Rica or whatever. And you sit down and talk to, you know, Jerry and Christy about it or whatever, right? Or if it's China, you can talk to Linda. You know, like just talking to people who are from there or who have been there or whatever, just their experiences, and see how it sits in your spirit. Does it excite you? Does it start to light? Does it make you afraid? Okay, well, take that to prayer in the Lord, right? Like that's how you pray into your word. We can't make some of those things happen sometimes, but we are responsible for lining ourselves up by faith to be willing if that's the Lord on some level. But we don't want to jump ahead of the Lord either. Am I making sense? Okay. All right. Good. Okay. So the next thing I wanted to cover a little bit in chapter 6, I'm not going to go over everything in here, but we've kind of already mentioned some of this stuff. Just knowing how to receive the gift of prophecy is the same as when we talked about receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? When we talk about the laying on of hands, praying and asking for the gifts, testing it out. There are going to be different levels of anointing or levels of grace sometimes for some people are just going to be automatically gifted. It's kind of like some of us are automatically gifted at being able to be more athletic than others maybe, right? But it doesn't mean that you can't be, right? Or like musically, you know, guitars from dummies is like how I learned how to play guitar. I've always been a singer. I'd had an ear and a heart for music since I was 2 or 3 years old. I've just always sung. But I was formally trained also to be able to sing. But I didn't get formally trained in the guitar. It was literally guitars for dummies and me practicing what I call my Jesus chords. You know, I just learned from other people who taught me cheat chords, and that's why I'm not that great, honestly. I'm not a great guitar player, but I can get away with it, you know, because I've learned how to do cheat chords and things. And so I'm just saying, like, you can grow in a gift as you invest in it, okay, as you pour yourself into it and stuff away. But there are going to be some people where it's just the grace of God that he's going to anoint some people in a certain gifting area than others. But I always tell people, there's no competition in the kingdom, right? I mean, he says we're supposed to celebrate when others are celebrating. We're supposed to mourn when others are mourning, right? So there's no competition in the kingdom. So if jealousy or envy or any of that comes up, just pray into that, Lord, you're not a respecter of persons, and I obviously have a desire for this. And so turn it into hunger, not jealousy. Turn it into hunger and just be able to pray into that. God, I hunger for that. Like there's a holy jealousy, if you will, right? You know, it's like, you know, hearing Linda come back from overseas. I've been overseas a few times, and it's like, Asia, you know, like anywhere. Just throw me anywhere in Asia, and that's where I would love to be able to be for about 2 weeks, and then I'm ready to come home, just being real. But, oh, I love doing it, okay? I love short-term missions for me. I'm not called to full-time, but I have a heart for Asia. But there's a holy jealousy, right? There's a holy jealousy that spurs us on. Even God talks about that, about the Jews being spurned on to holy jealousy as Gentiles come, you know, into the fullness of the faith. So just remember that we've talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts. And if any of you here that are new that were not here that Wednesday, I just want to welcome you and invite you at the end of our time tonight that if you've never prayed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that it is the empowering of Holy Spirit, not just within you at salvation, but upon you for the grace gifts to be able to minister to other people, okay? And that's how you can get your gifting activated. There are some that I believe that are locked away in people and get activated at different times, okay? And then there are some that can be imparted by the laying of hands. There's lots of scripture about that. because I walk in the prophetic gifting, I believe I have the ability to impart that gifting. Just like, you know, if I don't have sugar in my house and you ask to borrow a cup of sugar, I can't give it to you. Like, if I don't have it, I can't give it to you. But Holy Spirit does, so I can pray for Holy Spirit to give it to you still, okay? But there is something to recognizing an anointing on somebody or whatever and being able to sit under them and ask for an impartation, or if they give an impartation or whatever. And I do think that there's biblical truth and power in that as well. But again, it's still up to Holy Spirit. It's still up to Holy Spirit. So, all right. So that's really chapters 5 and 6 for today. And we want to practice, right? So first, let me ask, are there any questions from this week or last week, even anything that you've just kind of been sitting with, or if you've been practicing, what's come up for you? I'm going to ask that we not go into a whole lot of like testimony necessarily about it. Like if you have a short, brief one, then that's good. I really want to reserve this for questions, not necessarily everybody in here deciding to be a teacher when I give you the microphone. Just trying to set that boundary because we are limited on time, okay? But if you have a question, please ask.
Can you just explain the difference between a rhema word and a logos word?
Yes, I'm sorry. I shouldn't assume. Rhema is the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit. When you see a rhema word of God, it's the Holy Spirit that gives that word, okay, and how the Holy Spirit talks to us in the language of the Spirit. The logos word of God is Scripture. It's what's written, what was canonized in the Bible. Thank you for that question, for making that clear. Sometimes I do still speak Christianese. Sometimes y'all got to keep me in check. Yes.
The office
and the gift. Okay, I'll go over that. The office is, well, let me back up. The gift of prophecy is one of the 9 supernatural manifestations of Holy Spirit, right? So we have healing, we have miracles, we have words of knowledge, wisdom, healing, I think I said healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. Okay, there's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. We can have all of those, in my opinion. We can ask the Lord for all of those, but we can't make them happen without him. They are supernatural gifts, okay? So it's us practicing the muscle that we can line up with Holy Spirit, and if he decides yes, then it's a go, okay? One of the things I remember Chris Valentin talking about with revelation and the gift of prophecy is that when you release a word, let's say when you release a word, that my words come out in the color of red, okay? But if God decides to empower it, like if he agrees with that, whether it came from him or if I said it and he's like, that sounds good, you know, like, so if he agrees with it, then blue, right, the blue and the red for the revelation come together and then it's purple and then the power of God shows up with it. Does that make sense? And so it turns into something else where it's life, where it can be something that actually creates the word. It's not just us being a funnel, right? So that's the gift. The gift of prophecy is what we are practicing and talking about. The office of a prophet is the 5-fold ministry gifts in Ephesians 4 or 5. And that is the office of the prophet. There's an office of an evangelist, of the teacher, the pastor, and the apostle. And I believe that these offices, that when it says in Scripture that Christ gave these to men, he gave the people in the office as a gift to men for the equipping the saints of the work of ministry. Okay, so they're supposed to be the man of power for the hour up here on the stage doing all the work. Scripture says that they are supposed to father, is the word I will use, they're supposed to father and raise up and teach in that particular gifting. I use Billy Graham as an example of an office. Although he was a teacher, he was a pastor of a church, a preacher, if you will, preacher, teacher. But his gifting, his office was as an evangelist, because look at his fruit. When he preached the word and taught the word, thousands came to the Lord. So I look at the greatest impact, the greatest, highest level, right, that, I mean, those are going to be the ones that in the level of the prophet, the office of the prophet, it's a higher level, and there's a regional influence, if you will. So sometimes you can measure that on some level by influence. It's not about popularity. Don't hear that. It's about influence, how much influence the Lord gives or whatever. But they're able to discern, like the sons of Issachar, the seasons and the times, and declare what's going on in the spirit realm with the Lord. And Scripture actually says that the Lord doesn't do anything outside of telling the prophets first. You know, so I think it's really important for us to hear what we hear the Lord saying with people, and then as we test the word, as we hear it, as we measure it out, did that, you know, what came of that? You know, again, how did it will still follow all the same rules as we judge the words, but again, it's that level of influence. And for me, the word that brings home to me is not so much that they're popular like Billy Graham International in terms of influence, but the power of God showing up influence. Do I make sense? Because I think there are probably people walking in the office that aren't really known, okay? And so to me, the word that comes to mind is it's a fathering. It's the office, it's a governmental office. It's an administration of this particular gift that calls and raises up other people in that same gifting. So we father people, equip them, resource them, raise them up in that. Does that make sense? Okay. It's a great question, though. I really want to make sure that we do understand the difference. And there's so much more teaching on this than what we're going through. And this is just the basic training. This is like baby steps. Let's get the basic fundamentals down. Chris has another book called The School of Prophets, and that's really unpacking more the office gifting. But it's still a really good book as we discern our own, you know, level and gifting and really the heart of ministry. And as a leader and stuff too, that again, lining up with the Father's heart. Any other questions? Yes. Impart the gifts? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hear where you're going, because it was a confusion for me when I was first trying to understand this too. And I'm here to tell you right now, I do not know it all. I don't, okay? I'm still learning, I'm still growing in this as well. I believe, and it is okay to disagree with me, but I believe, and I do believe this to be biblical, I don't have the verses right in front of me, but Randy Clark's book, There Is More, was probably the book that really awakened me to understanding what impartation even meant. I didn't grow up in the charismatic church or anything where I had any of that Christianese. But if you go through scripture, any time where it said, like Paul talked about how the elders laid their hands onto Timothy, right? And he says, don't neglect the gifts that were given to you by the laying on of hands, okay? So by prophetic utterance, even. So they were laying on hands, praying for him. I really think that's key, and I'll come back to that. Praying for him, someone had a prophetic utterance and prophesied and imparted the gift. So laying on of hands does something. I believe just by touching somebody can release power. Okay? It releases comfort, light. It releases nurture. It can release that. And so I believe that's prayer all by itself, right? And especially if my spirit is in tune with what it is that I'm wanting to pray for. Now, when we're talking about laying on of hands to impart the gift, again, those were some of those scriptures, right? I'm trying to think of the time when Paul was, there were some disciples of John the Baptist, I think it was, and I'm really winging it here because I can't quote you the scriptures, but, I mean, y'all test it out. Don't trust me for my word. Like, seriously, go read your Bible about it, and then you ask more questions. But I don't have, I'm on the fly here, so I'm just telling you up front. But there is disciples of John, right, that showed up and said, well, we only know the baptism of John. And he's like, well, you know the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Okay, so then Paul prays for them, baptized them, and then they're prophesying and speaking in tongues. So there was a laying on of hand of prayer, a baptism of the Holy Spirit came where they were filled, not just because they received Holy Spirit upon conversion, but they were filled by the presence of Holy Spirit, that there was a separate baptism, just like we talked about water baptism, well, there's a baptism of fire. Scripture says. And so I believe that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you are empowered by Holy Spirit to do things you could not do by yourself. It's an unlocking of the gifts within you and a grace that God gives you. Remember, grace is not just unmerited favor, but it's the very power to do something you cannot do outside of God. Okay, so I believe in praying on, laying on of hands, because that's biblical. There's a biblical model for that, to ask again Holy Spirit to impart gifts to people. But I also believe as Peter and John saw the lame man at the gate beautiful, and they said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have to you I give. What did he have to give? Holy Spirit, right? And the gift of healing. Okay, so he gave it, right, to be healed. Okay, the power to be able to heal him when he reached out to him. I also believe, and again, this is where Randy Clark's book came in hand. I'll just tell you the story. I received an amazing prophetic word from someone who said every anointing, every time I had someone lay hands on me, every time someone prayed over me or whatever, there were seeds that were deposited into me, basically, okay? And basically what they explained was is that not only have I been given this gift or that gift or whatever, but a gift of impartation. And I'm like, what is that? I don't understand that. So I asked and I searched and I looked at scripture, and it doesn't necessarily always use the word impartation, but again, like Paul talks about, that was given to you upon laying of hands. So sometimes the translations are a little bit different in terms of language. But it wasn't until I went to School of Healing, and Randy Clark spends a whole session talking about impartation, because that is the gift he walks in. He walks in the gift of impartation. He is a healing evangelist, but he walks in that. And if you were to ever go on an international mission trip with Randy Clark, you will sit under his anointing as he imparts to you before you become his ministry team. And there is a grace deposited on your life because you're ministering under his anointing that takes you up about 12 notches. I am just saying. Okay? So, and the reason why I say that is because the hope and prayer is always then at the end of the two-week trip, he imparts and lays hands on you again so that you'll take it home and light those fires all over the place, like the revival fires. And there have been super testimonies. Like in his book, that's where he talks about Heidi Baker and Leif Hetland and them who received an impartation from him, you know, at Toronto. And then they've got like, you know, lots of crazy, amazing miracles and stories and testimonies, you know, million Muslims coming to the Lord and all kinds of crazy good things, right? So it's just a testimony. But does every single person that he laid hands on, like, duplicate that very thing? No, because it's up to God. Like, it's still up to Holy Spirit. And so there's a grace that's upon some people that you can pray and ask the Lord to deposit that. So when I talk about not just praying for Holy Spirit to be able to come and release the gifts, but it's just like if I had sugar in my house and you asked for a cup of sugar, I'd be able to give you some because I have some. But if I don't have it, I can't give it to you. But if you receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, or if you receive a believer in the name of the believer, right, like, then you receive that gift or that reward is actually the word that it's used in Scripture. Well, what's the reward of a prophet? It's not the gift, in my opinion, but it's the encounter of God. It's the knowing the heart, being able to hear and see God, right? And so it's not necessarily the gift from it, but it's the power to be able to do it. So I believe that any of us, any of you, right? If you have the gift of creative art, right, and artistry or teaching or whatever it is, you can ask that God, what's on my life, you know, if the Lord directs you, and I really think that's key, if the Lord directs you, what's on my life, God, I ask, you know, that you would impart that to them according to the measure that you want to give to them, right? It's not up to me. It's still up to Holy Spirit. Just like as much as I can pray for you to be healed, it's still not up to me, but I'm like, be healed, right? And so, again, it's still about submitting to Holy Spirit, about making sure it's what, you know, what the Lord is saying to do. It's not about, hey, let me just, you know, if I had a whole bunch of sugar, I can just throw sugar on everybody. Well, that doesn't mean you're going to take it like something sweet. If you get it stuck in your eye and it doesn't feel really good, you know, I mean, it may not be a good thing. So you have to discern from Holy Spirit about that. But I do believe that there is the power and the ability to be able to do that in imparting the gifts. Not just, it's still always Holy Spirit, but I do believe there's grace on people's lives so you can ask for an impartation of that. Now, it doesn't mean it'll happen, but when you receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. That's why the scripture's there. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question a little bit? But I would encourage you, if you're curious about the idea of the gift of impartation, Randy's book, that was like the book he was born to write, says Bill Johnson. So There Is More is the name of that book, and it's pretty powerful, the testimonies that are in it and the understanding of that. Any other questions? These are really great questions, y'all. Okay, so let's practice. Who wants to practice hearing from the Lord? Anybody? Ready? Set? Come up. Okay, yeah. Come on up. Now, just because you're sitting out in the seats doesn't mean that you don't get to practice too. Like, I would encourage you, even though you might not get the microphone in your mouth, I want you to encourage you to ask the Lord too, because he might give you the same thing that they get, or something similar, like an interpretation or whatever. Okay, awesome. Okay, now y'all turn around and face the other way. How many do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We always have 5. Y'all are good. Okay. Now, those of you standing up at the front, I'm just going to give you some time to pray and ask the Lord. And this is going to be a bit of a stretch, but I'm going to ask the Lord. I want you to ask the Lord, God, how is this person I'm about to prophesy into like a cartoon character? And why? Now, who wants a word? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I'll get to you. Now, I know it's a stretch. I know it's a little creative. I know it kind of seems weird. Okay, you guys go ahead and turn around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay? So, number one, what cartoon character and why?
Well, it was a newspaper cartoon that I just felt like it was, I guess it's called Calvin and Hobbes.
Is yeah, that okay.
A tiger?
Yes, that's Calvin and Hobbes,
and a little boy.
Uh-huh.
It's weird that I see that because I've never read it.
Okay, that's awesome. Why Calvin and Hobbes, Lord?
It seemed like just a relationship, it seems like, you know, I guess the tiger's his toy, maybe?
Uh-huh.
And it just seems like a close relationship is all, you know, that there's something to do with drawing close in a relationship. And that's all I have so far.
Okay, so what do you think the father is saying to the person? This is who you are, or this is what he wants, or what... How would you phrase that as you were giving them that?
Just draw close to me. Maybe the Lord's saying, draw close to me. Just, it's so simple. It's like hugging your little stuffed animal. I mean, that's how simple it is. It's not some religion, some fancy thing that you have to follow a pattern. Just draw close to me.
Okay, I'm going to stretch you. Okay. I'm going to push a little bit. So why is this person like Calvin and Hobbes? Like, what is it about their identity if you were to describe them? You are?
Childlike.
Anything else? Just really try to hear with your spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Just what's the impression that you get?
Joyful. You're childlike and joyful. And I created you to trust.
Yeah, no, that's great. No, that's really great. Now, is there anything you feel like that he wants to say about the future?
I just have good plans for you. Just hold on to this message. Draw close to me. I have great plans.
Love that. Okay, did you hear the fullness of that word getting fleshed out a little bit? Okay, so we got a revelation, we got some interpretation, but I worked on your delivery a little bit because when we're talking to the person, right, like again, we can kind of be, I don't want to say just directional, like I just want you to draw close to me. Okay, but a prophetic word is not necessarily just a direction. It's not a directive to say this is what you need to do. So a prophetic word is, this is who you are. This is what I see in you. This is what I'm doing in you. This is my heart for you. This is the circumstance you're in, and my goodness is being developed. Or here's my, the foretelling or the forthtelling. Here's what's coming. Here, or you hear what I'm saying? Like, that's a prophetic word, right? Okay. Otherwise, we can all say an encouraging word. We can all say nice words. But what would be the supernatural part of that? What would be the thing that God is saying about who they are as a person, and then what is he doing or saying about them or about what's coming? Or does that make sense? That's the prophetic word. Okay, that's fabulous. Now, before we do a reveal, is there any other interpretation? Does anybody else feel like they had to add on that? Just one or two people, because of time. Yeah. Okay, so maybe there's a significance to the colors or something too, might have something into it. There's a good question. Yeah? Uh-huh.
And so other people don't see it, but you know it, and then it's that intimate, so it's very different from how others perceive it. It's just very close to time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Did y'all get that? Okay, so who's number one? Judy. All right, how did it fit or not? Uh-huh. Intentional. But what about her word for you? What about what she said?
As far as it's going close, that is something that I can't intentionally do. Just to be with the water and to draw strength from him.
Okay. Okay. Good. All right. Thank you. Good job. Okay, what you got?
Wonder Woman.
All right. So, how is this person like Wonder Woman, or why? What did the Lord give you?
Courageous, and stands for truth, and loves to help people in need.
Okay. So, if this was a prophetic word, what's the Father saying to this person about them or about their future?
That you will be courageous and be there for people that are in need, and be encouraging to them, and be truthful.
Okay. So I'm going to rephrase it just a little bit, okay? So instead, this is what I mean by being directional versus declarative, okay? Instead of saying, you be truthful. I'm trying to remember the words you used. You be courageous and you be truthful. Instead, I hear the Father saying, you know, I believe I hear the Father saying that you are courageous and that you are a person who stands for truth, right? And I think of the little belt that she would, you know, and then she's got those little deflector things, like you are capable of deflecting the lies of the enemy, or you bring the truth out of other people, or this is who you are and this is the power that you wield. And I heard in Wonder Woman, like, hello, wonders, like miracle signs and wonders. So the wonder of God is being revealed.
And you
carry a crown. And you carry a crown. Okay, and so then who you are royalty, and you are walking in and will be walking in royalty and identity. Do you hear how I said that different? How my delivery is about identity and about how God sees them. The Father declares this and sees them in their identity this way, and here is what is he's doing or what's going to happen. Right? Do you hear what I'm saying? So this, you have to discern that, but it's about, instead of you know, be trustworthy or be courageous. Do you hear the difference between that and then how it's a declare, it's a declaration, it's a word of encouragement and empowerment. And then here's how I see you, and here's what God's doing, or here's what he's going
That's
to do.
What I meant. I really meant that.
But,
I really honestly,
no, you did fabulous. No, Christine, you did fabulous. Listen, we're all learning here, right? But it's really intentional for me to kind of break it down in these baby steps so that you kind of hear. And here's the other thing. You don't necessarily have to say it like I do, right? This is part of me and my personality. But it is important for us to think about what's a prophetic word, right? It's not a direction, you go do this. It's not a to-do list. It's this is who you are, this is how I see you, says the Father. This is what I see is happening in your life. This is what I declare over you. This is what is coming into your life. Do you hear what I mean? It's not prophecy if it's not about the future. For me, I get a lot of words of knowledge about identity and declaring who they are, because that is prophetic also, especially if they don't believe it. Right? Like, this is who you are, and this is who you are becoming, and Does that make sense? So that's a prophetic word. So you got the revelation and the interpretation. I'm just trying to help teach you guys on delivery. Does that make sense? Okay. Who's number two? Who is number two? I don't remember. Who is number two?
I don't remember.
I'll take it. I'll be Wonder Woman. Oh, man. Y'all don't remember? Okay, well, we'll figure it out after because let's get through. Yeah, no, we don't want to reveal them yet. Yeah, so once we get to the end, we'll go back and go, okay, if I pointed to you, you know, you were number two. Maybe I just didn't point clear. But thank you.
Thank you.
Did great. No, that's good. Let's give her a hand for being brave. Okay, what'd you get?
I saw Mickey Mouse.
All right, why Mickey Mouse?
And I don't even like Mickey Mouse. So I got a few things with that.
Oh, Declan.
It's okay. You can go get Grandma. So the first thing I think with Mickey Mouse is the big ears. And so I said, Lord, why? I said, oh, what big ears you have? What are they for? And he said, the better to hear me with. And so I saw big ears, and he has big hands and big feet. And so the big hands were for signs and wonders. You're carrying many signs and wonders with you in your ministry. And you have big feet because you're taking the gospel. He said, how beautiful are the feet that carry the good news. And I also saw that Mickey Mouse is the face of the kingdom of Disney. And so you're the face of the kingdom of God, and you're going to be a huge representative of God in the earth in the days to come. So that's what I got.
I love it. That's good. That's a good word. All right. Who was number three? That so fits, doesn't it? Anything? Any feedback you want to give him on that? Yeah.
I thought so many times I kept mentioning castle.
Okay. He started a new job, and so that's like the castle, and so that's what he was picturing too, right? So there's authority over you and your land and your job and stuff too. So he was seeing that, the castle of the workplace that he's in. That's good. All right. Now, pause for a minute. Now that you know who it is, was there anything else that you got on top of that? I'm just asking.
Oh, one thing I forgot that I already had was that you have a heart for children, that you really have a heart to reach children. And it wasn't limited to any one ethnic group. I saw you reaching many cultures of people, like Disney's translated to all different languages around the world. So I got that for you, too. Is that...
That's so good. That is so, I think you totally nailed him on that one. I really do. I feel that in my spirit. That's good. That's a good word, right? Yeah. Okay. Awesome. All right. Yeah. Pray and bless it. Yes, God.
Okay.
All right.
Mine wasn't that detailed.
That's okay.
I got Fred Flintstone.
Awesome.
And
okay.
Said, oh my goodness. Why Fred Flintstone? And I heard clearly he was way before his time.
Come on.
And then I kind of tried to get a little bit more in, like, in what way? Mm-hmm. And just that he's very famous, very well known, and everyone loves Fred. So I just his sphere is huge, but he was way before his time. So I would say that whoever this is, that you're going to be very influential and very loved and admired in the future. Maybe not right now, but in the future. You're a little bit before your time right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else get anything? One or two people? Anybody else? get an interpretation? And you think of Fred Flintstone? Man, I grew up on that cartoon. So here's what, I'm like totally like, you know, yeah. I mean, I think of the little, the ribs and the french fry thing on the car, you know, like, but that like spoke of abundance. But what I pictured was how he moved stones, right? He moved the boulders and stuff so that you're a mover, right, of mountains, right? The mover of stones, standing on the solid rock. Yeah, what'd you get? What'd you add? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, firm foundation of bedrock. That's good. Okay, who was number four? Mia. Yeah. That fits. Tell me, do you feel like it fits? What you do you get out of that?
Actually, I went to prophetic ministry like last month, and somebody said, "You are a mover and a shaker. You move things."
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Okay, thank you. Good job. All right, what'd you get?
I got George Jetson. I got him, and he's like floating on air, like a covering, and he's happy and joyful and responsible. He's a leader, a father figure. And he is just ready for the future. That's everything I got like that. It was very light, not dark. It was like I just saw like a lot of white, and I saw his big smile and how his family loves him.
Okay, so now that you have all that, I want you to try to put it together and think about your delivery as you declare this over this person. What's the Father saying?
I believe the Father is saying...
Very good.
I believe the Father is saying that all these characters of this person, they're all positive and ready to almost like Holy Spirit. And, you know, because he's floating, like, in the spirit almost, like, in the future, like, great things. Like, all these characters are just going to grow and develop in his future or her future.
The characteristics of?
Of a father. I'm sorry.
No, you're doing great.
Okay.
It's good.
A lot of joy. Mm-hmm. I just see happiness, mm-hmm, and joy.
Mm-hmm. That's good. No, it's good. I was just waiting to see if you got any more. That's great. No, that's a fabulous word. Anyone else want to add something? George Jetson.
Yeah, when she mentioned covering, I got comforter. A comforter of many. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, that's great. Good. Anyone else?
Part of, you know, you're in the earth but not of the earth. You are a spiritual being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Awesome. Okay, who is number five? You're gonna have to remind me your name. Bill. Okay. All right. Yeah. Or the playbook for, you know, a play or something. So how did that fit? What landed with you, or what do you think about that?
Well, I know not a lot of people know my past or anything else, but I came from a very dark time, and I'm very much so very happy now. I'm full of joy. People consistently comment on my smile. But, but you know, I think the biggest thing that stood out to me, there was at one point you told me, there's no darkness, it's all light.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest thing that stood out.
Yeah, good. Now, your wife, so you tell me, how do you see it?
Basically, it made me want to cry because that's the way that I feel and that's the way that I see him. And from the very beginning when we met, when he was going through a very dark time, that was what God revealed to me as well, that he has great plans for his future and that he's going to use him to do something amazing. I don't think, you know, I don't see it at any time right now, but I know that God is equipping him, you know, during these next seasons. And, you know, one of the first places is the home and the covering and just bringing our family together and just the light from the kids, you know, from the where they were before and where they're at now and where we're at now. And people who do know us well kind of know a little bit, you know, from where we both came from and when we came together and where we are now. And so, yes, I do see he is full of joy, and he does bring light to our family, and he does bring light to anybody that he comes in contact with. And I do feel that God is going to use him in the future for great things. So,
awesome. Anything else? Good. Yes, God. We agree with God. Yes. Good job. Great. No, that was so good. That was really good. Okay, Mike, yes. God doesn't waste anything in our life, you know, and we have to learn how to be sons and daughters before we can really be mothers and fathers to others, you know, so there's a really great season of soaking. Now, does number two remember who they are? You were number two.
I was number two. Uh-huh.
That's okay, but it didn't hit me until we're standing over there, and I was like, oh, it was Jenny. Yeah, you were number two. Okay, so let's help me to remind Jenny, though. You need to hear it, right? Because you somehow didn't hear it, didn't, and we're not going to let the enemy rob you of it, right, of this word.
Well, he's tried to rob me.
Yeah, so you're Wonder Woman. Yeah. I remember there was a crown. Y'all help me remember, right? We talked about a woman of truth who has those little deflector things to deflect the lies of the enemy, right? Person who brings out truth out of other people and you lasso them. Signs and wonders, right, that you're courageous. Yes, an invisible airplane where you can go anywhere you want to in the secret place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Y'all just extend your hand. Father, we agree and say yes. She is a wonder woman, a woman of many wonders, Lord. And I thank you that that she delights in your presence in the secret place as you continue to reveal the wonders of your love toward her. Thank you, Lord, that she is equipped and empowered to deflect the stuff of the enemy that comes her way, and that she is a woman who stands on truth and for truth and draws the truth out of other people. Yeah, she's going to lasso people into the truth. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's good stuff. All right, y'all did awesome. Isn't that fun? Prophetic ministry is fun, y'all. Why? Because we need to see ourselves the way God sees us. And everyone around us needs to see themselves the way God sees them. And so this, I believe very strongly, that's why Paul said, get rid of this microphone, that's why Paul said that I wish that you would all just prophesy. Right? Like, eagerly seek the greatest gifts, the greater gifts, he said, you know, that you may all prophesy, because it edifies, encourages, exhorts, it builds up, it lifts up, it speaks identity, it declares the goodness of God that is with you and is coming toward you. The plans of the Lord, and what he has, instead of us getting caught up in all of our own stuff and our own circumstances and the lies of the enemy in our ear and the accusation and all of those things of our experiences that have become truth that are not truth, right? So that's why it's such a powerful ministry. Now, it's not just really great things we can say to each other. Like, I wish we were all just encouragers and exhorters. That would be fabulous, right? That's how we can love on each other. But when it is supernatural, because the power of God comes through that word that then is felt and empowered in the spirit, you can't do that with just an encouraging positive word from somebody. From human to human word. It's nice. It's good. It's going to feed you a little bit, but not like if it's a word from the Lord. Right? It does something else. There's a supernatural grace on it that's really powerful. So it's really important. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, God. Thank you for helping us to hear and to discern and to learn, Lord, and to tap into the heart that you want to reveal to people, to speak life and truth about how you see each of us, Lord, and that and the joy, Lord, that can be lit up as people hear your voice and not only release it, but to receive it, God. So I thank you for that. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just increase our discernment, that you would increase our ability to be able to hear you and know you, Lord, that we're able to catch when you give us crazy things like a cartoon character for somebody, or that you give us a sound or a word or a picture or something, Lord, that you would tug on our hearts, Lord, and highlight those people that you want us to be able to encourage. And so, Lord, I ask for an increase of faith and an increase of boldness to be able to do that in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that you would just multiply the fruit and the seeds that have gone forth tonight. And we thank you, Lord. Just keep everyone protected, healthy, and safe, and that they may return. Lord, I also lift up to you Jay and Christy and all of them that are traveling this week, too, to minister in Colorado. And I just pray that your spirit will move there in a mighty way as well, God. Thank you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.